In the NFL, there is no margin for error. As you know, one mistake can change the outcome of an entire game. That's the same thing about your life and making sure you get the proper sleep so you get done in your day exactly what you want, because you're focused and you have everything in order. And the people who can help you do that are our friends at Sleep Number. Their mission is to provide the players of the NFL and you with data and insights to optimize your sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. Don't just take my word for it. How about 95% of the Los Angeles Rams? They've got a Sleep Number bed. 80% of the Kansas City Chiefs, they have a Sleep Number bed. 90% of the Vikings have a Sleep Number bed. You should have a Sleep Number bed. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70, just 10 numbers apart, but it means the world of difference because we can adjust our side of the bed to the exact firmness that we want and allows for working out or recovery. It's game-changing. So if you're in the market for a new bed, you should stop at a Sleep Number store right now. See your store or sleepnumber.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on the Roku Sports Channel from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
NBA playoffs is going to be amazing.
It's too bad it takes 2.5 months.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Kick out in the corner, 3, Westbrook.
Score! Out of bounds, 3 is up.
And he had it!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Here's Dante.
Fires at the buzzer and hits the 3.
Earlier on the show, quarterback coach John Beck. Cardinals defensive end Calais Campbell. The Ringer NFL draft analyst Todd McShay. Coming up, former NFL general manager Mike Mayock. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number 3 of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Mike Mayock will join us to complete his Mike Mayock draft that we've been piecing together from him over the last couple of weeks. Great chat with our friend from The Ringer, Todd McShay. Also, Calais Campbell of the Cardinals joined us. Great in-studio chat with John Beck, one of the top quarterback coaches that prepares players for the draft. If you missed any of it, you can catch up on so many different ways. Our Fast channel on the Roku channel. There's also our podcast for all podcast listeners to check it out. There's our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. And there's also our secret signal chat. Wait a minute. Was I not supposed to say that out loud? My bad. There's many different ways for you to keep in touch with us. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial as well here on the program. We haven't hit on the NBA playoffs yet.
No, we haven't.
Here, and before we get to my, by the way, I've got a top 5 list of potential steals in the NFL draft. We'll get to that in a second before we get to Mayock. Here's my review of the first playoff weekend.
Yeah, weekend one assessment. What do you got?
Weekend one assessment. The Oklahoma City Thunder's got a chip on their shoulder.
They're very good.
They have a message to send.
Yes.
Okay. They have a message to send. Like, you know how they say they beat some team back to the Stone Age? The biggest playoff win since the 50s. Hmm. So they had a message to send. Cleveland's message is the top seed is, listen, Miami Heat, we know that you're the kings of the play-in tournament only to torment top seeds in the playoffs as well. We have a message to send as well. Regular season, no fluke. Mm-hmm. Another message being sent to Boston Celtics that the upstarts from Orlando leading at half, then the third quarter hits and a ton of bricks falls on the Orlando Magic. I texted this to the group. and I'll say it here, the acquisition of Jrue Holiday. I know we're talking about Brown and Tatum, and obviously Porzingis was a monster acquisition as well. But the fact that the Bucks trying to keep Giannis happy by getting him another star leads to Marcus Smart being able to be flipped for Jrue Holiday. Is that one of the greatest tricks the Devils ever pulled off? You know?
Pretty good.
I mean,
pretty good.
Goodness gracious. That guy's going to be in the Hall of Fame one day, and you add him to the mix of Derek White continuing his remarkable run that he is on.
Yeah, the midseason trade a few years ago that was just like, why would they do that?
But the thing that I think the Celtics and the Knicks also taught their upstart opponents, or at least didn't teach them, showed them that, boy, is it a four-quarter game in the playoffs.
Yeah. Playoff basketball is different.
So the third quarter happened to the Magic in Boston. The fourth quarter happened to Detroit in Madison Square Garden.
Well, the last 5 minutes, really?
The Knicks went on a 21-0 run.
Never seen anything like that.
And, you know, Coach Bickerstaff ran out of timeouts. Yep. He couldn't fire off another one during the 21-0 streak. The Warriors have shown the Rockets that, listen, there's a red glare here on our side, and that's two Hall of Famers matching up with Jimmy Butler, another one. Defensively, they looked really great, too. And then Curry, how many times can he make shots that make us think, what's next from this guy? I would think he's done with his awe-inspiring ability to make threes. He's unbelievable.
And I'm going to assume that, you know, Houston, obviously 2 seed, they've been great all year. I'm going to assume they're not going to be 6 of 29 again in this playoffs. So if they get some shots to fall, maybe this could be a good series. But, man, Golden State looked awesome defensively, right? And that's why you go and acquire Jimmy Butler. That's why Draymond Green is the betting favorite for Defensive Player of the Year. You know, they're kind of showing their playoff mettle.
Correct. And you know, and Memphis did win the play-in game on Friday night, which ended the season of Nico Harrison cutaways, where it looks like he's vomiting in his own mouth.
But poor guy. I mean, he did it to himself.
So that Nico's off the hook now. For the moment, we don't have to watch him watch his team lose, even though they did beat the Kings. And the best result for Nico is that Luka can ball out in the playoffs, and it doesn't matter. The Lakers got whipped in the Downtown Hoops Dojo by the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Sure did.
They took care of business. Lakers came out hot in the first quarter, and Minnesota was the better team.
I mean, Luka played awesome.
He did.
I mean, you're not going to get a better shooting performance out of him. 12 of 22, 5 of 10 from 3, 7 rebounds,
yes.
eight boards. Didn't do it in the assist category, but man, still minus 12, but Naz Reid, 23 off the bench.
Big W.
I mean, Anthony Edwards, that stare down photo where he's doing the thing at Luka, and you're just like, man, oh man. Anthony Edwards does not care that they have Luka Doncic and LeBron James.
And we could be seeing again the dawn of another Anthony Edwards run. And I know it's just one playoff game, but another moment where, okay, regular season may be iffy, inconsistent. But now the rubber's meeting the road, and it's a good thing for the moment that TJ isn't here, because another heart-ripping out of your chest Clippers loss. Clippers up 15.
Yeah, the whole game. They're winning the whole game.
15 in Denver, and then of all people to hit the corner three.
Right.
To put them up. Russell Westbrook is just the unkindest cut of all. Like, of all the people you could choose on the Nuggets roster to just gut punch the Clippers.
Yeah, who's going to hit the dagger three late in the game to kind of lock this up? Russell Westbrook's going to make that shot?
That guy.
You'd let him shoot that 10 times out of 10.
Yeah. So maybe the Clippers can get a big shot from Bones Highland to give it right back to him.
Right.
You know, right back at him.
Jab.
Is Reggie Jackson going to come out of the mist now? You know what I mean?
I don't know. But, okay, here's my sports talk radio question.
Mm-hmm.
Week one, weekend one losers. Who's in the biggest trouble?
Really?
I don't know.
I'll take the Rockets. I'll take the team that lost at home.
Okay. Well, Lakers too.
I got it.
I'm just saying, like, nobody thought the Grizzlies were going to beat Oklahoma City anyway, so losing by 50 is kind of whatever. But, you know, I think Lakers, Rockets losing is pretty shocking.
It's not whatever to Oklahoma City, pal. That's not whatever. That's them coming out and saying, okay, you think it's not our time, that we're ahead of our time. You know, Shea gets named as a finalist for the MVP.
But they're supposed to win this game. Maybe not by 50, but
50 is a statement, sir. But I'll just go, the Lakers at least have LeBron and Luka, guys who have been there and done that. The Rockets have got Fred VanVleet in the been there, done that department.
Yeah, pretty much.
Dylan Brooks in the been there, kind of done that department.
I mean, their coach has been to a finals, Ime, so, yeah.
Yeah, I'll and then the Warriors just congealing at the right moment.
Are they playing like a 90s style basketball? Yeah. 95, 85?
Fun. So that's our NBA playoff roundup, if you will. I feel better. Do you? Okay.
I feel better that Tatum's x-rays on his wrist were negative.
How about one other thing, too? How about Joe Mazzulla keeping the trainer from going out to look at him and yelling, get up, at Tatum while he's underneath the basket?
Joe's a different cat. Looked like a pretty unnecessary roughness play.
Well, I mean, he was going for the slam dunk, and he was fouled.
They get a flagrant on
the play. I know, but he fell pretty damn hard.
He did.
And for the coach to just basically tell the trainer, "Don't go out yet," and screamed, "Get up!" at Tatum.
Joe's a different dude.
If there wasn't if there wasn't a championship there, these are big. I'm giving massive. If there wasn't a championship there, and another clear shot at one right now. Would Mazzulla be on the EEI hot seat for telling Tatum to get up?
Oh, man, who does this guy think he is telling your star player to get up?
Told him, get up. Like, that is wild.
Wild.
And, not as wild as Van Gundy keeping the ball from Jokic.
Yeah, keeping the ball.
He's grabbing on that ball like it's Morning's ankle.
Just a lot.
Like it was Alonzo's ankle.
Yeah.
Okay.
Funny.
Now we're done with our update. What a wild weekend NBA playoffs, man. I've got a top five list. Before we go to the draft.
Let's go.
In Green Bay. Top five potential steals in the NFL draft presented by Spectrum.
High five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Rich's top five.
All right, here we go, everybody. I'm going deep to start here, okay? I saw him at the combine. I saw him and he kind of stood out to me. Because you know who stands out at you? A 6'3", 214-pound wideout who could play the slot at 6'3", who runs a 4.43 40. And also what stood out was all of his family and friends in T-shirts with the Tesla logo on it because his last name is Teslaw. Isaac Teslaw, wide receiver out of Arkansas. I mean, you want to talk about a deep draft at wide receiver?
Yep.
6'3", 214, 4.43.
Woo.
You know, everyone's looking for that slot guy who's a difference maker, okay. Right? You're normally thinking LaDidi McConkey, but LaDidi ain't 6'3". And, you know, he had only 28 catches for 546 yards in Arkansas, but he's got a name that kind of sticks out, too. I'm just throwing that name out there for you.
He should get bumped up around just on hair alone.
He could be really good.
It
could be
hair.
One of those steals at the end of a draft or middle of the draft or wherever he goes. He could go Friday night too, by the way. We'll see how everybody else ranks him. Number four in this list. To show you, listen, I'm fair and balanced. You covet what you see. And what I saw from this kid was me being quite fearful for my Michigan quarterbacks. On various Novembers. JT Tuimoloau of Ohio State is a grown-ass man. And he's got a second-round grade on him. I don't get it. Listen, I'm not an all-22 guy. I'm just not. I'm not a tape head. He's a game wrecker. He's really good. And in the world of edge rushers, you can get someone on a Friday night with his talent. Do you know what? And plus, what did he do in the college football playoffs? If we're going to upgrade Will Howard for this sort of stuff,
right?
Tui Moloau, 6.5 sacks in the 4 college football playoff games.
Is that good?
Against the top competition, yep. Under the biggest pressure. I like him. I think he's a steal. Number 3, this is not going to surprise people. We've been talking about him. This guy had me at hello. Cam Scataboo of Arizona State.
Scataboo.
526 touches in his last 2 seasons at Arizona State. 338 touches last season. 20 plays of 20 or more yards. And by the way, 3 touchdown passes. He is a dynamo and a big play machine.
Yeah, football player.
Where's he going to go? Dude, if he winds up in Denver, that just, he reeks of Sean Payton, Denver Broncos.
They're a running back spot, so.
Could you imagine Bo Nix and Cam Scataboo? Or Scataboo. But you know what I mean? Will they call him Scataboo?
Yeah, maybe. Marketing department is just getting ideas.
Like, Bo and Scataboo? No, it's Scataboo. Well, it doesn't really.
Whatever.
Let's go, Bo.
Bo Nix.
They're not saying, well, let's not do that either.
I don't know.
He's great. Number 2, I'm going to choose a quarterback here. I was going to choose your guy, McCord, because I really liked him a lot.
He was great.
But this is the guy that I'm hearing has the biggest ceiling. That one individual in particular who I respect calls him a lottery ticket. If the numbers hit, look out. And it's Jalen Milroe. He is a potential steal in this draft.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I don't know, right? I don't know. Trust me, I don't know. We're all darts at a board here, man. Jackson darting at a board. If he hits, you got yourself a massive upside quarterback. Massive. So, I mean, I know that there's a floor, there's a ceiling. We talk about it with a lot of players. This guy's ceiling could be the highest out of anyone in the draft. You get him on a Friday night. Plus, we got to meet him, too. He had to say hello when he zoomed in, right, to the program?
Sure did.
So we'll see. He could go on Thursday night. We'll find out if he's a steal.
I think he goes in the first round.
You do think so, huh? Do. Number 1, I'm going to take, again, he's a top 10 pick, so how could he be a steal? Because Mayock, who's about to join us, has a higher grade on him than Abdul Carter. And if I see some teams maybe even being able to get him in the middle of the first round, and that's Jalen Walker at Georgia. I mean, if he's better than Abdul Carter and you can get him middle of the first round, late in the tens, I don't know. It's like if he could be as good as Abdul Carter and you get him 5 if you're Jacksonville, or you get him 8 if you're Carolina. I don't know, man.
Man, imagine him on San Francisco with Nick Bosa. Yeah.
It's entire. I mean, so. If he turns out to be the best edge rusher and he's not the number 1 overall pick or even in the top 5 and you get him, that's a steal.
Yeah.
That is a steal.
Agree.
Go ahead and hit it.
We need one more.
Sure, why not?
All right, we'll get one more.
And this is another guy who, if he drops, this is a steal. If he falls to the middle of the first round and every mock that I'm seeing puts him there. Guys, when we were winning the national championship at the University of Michigan.
Oh, jeez.
That was a factor. Will Johnson was top 5. We were talking about him as a top 5 pick in the NFL draft.
Yep.
Flat out. Like, I think if he left after the national championship and didn't stick around another year, I think he'd have been a top 5 pick.
For sure.
And so I'm seeing like 15, 12, 13, 14, 15, even maybe deeper than that.
And he was banged up last year, right?
He was. Yeah. Or he was banged up, but I think he also read the writing on the wall and like, why am I going to rehab the entire... You know, spring for a team that I if I was his parent or advocate, I would have told him to start sitting games out too. I don't blame him at all.
Yeah.
But he's like, this is a guy that Charles Woodson lionizes and praises. You can get him in the middle of the first round. That's a draft steal for sure. And those are my top 5 potential steals in the draft presented by Spectrum. Elevate your home internet with a fast and reliable connection backed by a local team that's there when you need them. Make more things possible with Spectrum today. Let's take a break. Mike Mayock will complete the mock draft we've been tricking him into doing. It's not the mock draft you're looking for. I pulled a full Obi-Wan on this man. And I'm only saying that because he hasn't zoomed in yet and is possibly not hearing me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Progressive loves to help people make smart choices. That's why they offer a tool called Auto Quote Explorer that allows you to compare your Progressive car insurance quote with rates from other companies. So you save time on the research and can enjoy savings when you choose the best rate for you. Give it a try after this episode at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Even the safest drivers still encounter unsafe conditions, so it's important they do it in a safe vehicle. And Hyundai's offer available Class Executive Advanced Safety features to help keep you protected against the many challenges the road throws your way. Basically, in a Hyundai, you can drive as safely as possible and enjoy your journey in confidence and style. When you change lanes, signal check for traffic and enjoy the added safety of Hyundai's available blind spot view monitor. Constantly scan for dangers and take advantage of Hyundai's standard forward collision avoidance assist to help prevent accidents by alerting you of imminent collisions and automatically applying the brakes. Stay alert at all times and be thankful that Hyundai's standard driver attention warning system monitors your attention levels and can bring your focus back on the road. Safety is all about making the right decisions on the road and when selecting a vehicle. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
This episode is brought to you by Chevy Silverado. When it's time for you to ditch the blacktop and head off-road, do it in a truck that says no to nothing. The Chevy Silverado Trail Boss. Get the rugged capability of its Z71 suspension and 2-inch factory lift. Plus, impressive torque and towing capacity thanks to an available Duramax 3-liter turbo diesel engine. Where other trucks call it quits, you'll just be getting started. Visit Chevy.com to learn more.
All right, a correction and corrected, Chris, by a fellow Syracuse Orange and masshole and Celtic diehard, my brother-in-law, Scott, says, I was right church, wrong pew with the Jrue Holiday acquisition. It did stem from the Bucks trying to get...
Yeah, they got him from Portland.
It did stem from the Bucks trying to improve their lot to get Lillard. Marcus Smart was Porzingis. They flipped Marcus Smart for Porzingis.
That must have been a three-way deal.
It was.
Porzingis came from Dallas, and then we got the Memphis, right? All worked.
What the hell? They got... They're...
It all worked. Brad Stevens should run every team. Yeah.
You know?
I would trust Brad Stevens to do the Pats draft on Thursday. Because then they'd take Ashton Jeanty.
I don't know, man. I don't know if Brad Stevens does the... Is Jeanty the smart thing or the flashy thing? Will Campbell's the smart thing.
Well, you can't take a guard fourth overall.
Unless you're playing with tackle.
But why would you?
Pal, listen. I know you want Jeanty in the worst way. You're going to get the lineman to protect your guy, which is a good idea.
Yeah.
You know?
But they didn't do it for Joe Burrow, and they went to the Super Bowl. I don't know.
All right, very good. At any rate, Mike Mayock's about to join us here on the program. Why don't you put up his first 10?
First 10.
Yeah, this was his first 10 of his, if you will, mock as we run through things. There's Cam Ward, Travis Hunter, Yeah, he says Will Campbell's going to you. Graham, Jeanty, Membu, Jalen Walker, Jahan Campbell, I loved talking to him last Friday. And then Tyler Warren. That's the first 10.
Bears fans be so happy.
So we're about to get the final 12 from Mike Mayock. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Our friend, Mike Mayock, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Good to see you, Michael. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Good to be here, Rich.
Mike. Yeah, you bet. Same here. Let's, if you don't mind, pop up the top 10 again of Mike Mayock. A couple of weeks ago, I went pick by pick with you. Sean Mitchell, our outstanding producer here on the Rich Eisen Show, is now calling the Mike Mayock, the host from Michigan, tricked me into doing this mock draft. That's what he's calling it, which I take a little bit of umbrage. And these are your first 10. You got the next 10. Let's pop it up. Mike Mayock's next 10. Here it is. Baron Golden, Zabel, Loveland, Mike Green, Kelvin Banks Jr., Pierce Booker, Johnson, Tet McMillan, 20th. Not to get you to redo anything here, but you're sticking with it. You like these 20 as we're now 3 days before as opposed to 3 weeks before, Mike?
I do like them. You could, and you brought the point up last week. Well, with Miami, like if they're going to move a corner, why not draft a corner?
Right.
And I looked at that hard, and people might say it's too early for Gray Zabel, but I think in 3 or 4 years, they'll look back and say, wow, he plays 2 or 3 positions and he plays them all at a high level. So there's some different play. I wanted to give a running back to Dallas and or Denver and ended up moving ahead of that, away from that, just because of the depth of the running back class. It'll be interesting to see if Omari and Hampton or any of those other running backs go 21 to 32 in our draft today.
So then let's get to the order of business here, Mike. 3 days before the NFL draft, reviewing your previous 20 picks, Shedeur Sanders' name has yet to be called, which means the Steelers are sitting there 21st overall, sticking and picking. And do you think they would take Shedeur Sanders under this circumstance, Mike?
You tried to trick me into making that comment last week. the Pittsburgh Steelers and Shedeur Sanders.
Okay.
So apparently we're 1 for 2 in tricking, but at the end of the day, what I like about this is I do like Shedeur Sanders to Pittsburgh.
You do.
I like the head coach in Pittsburgh an awful lot. I don't think it, in my mind, should preclude an Aaron Rodgers deal. Matter of fact, I would embrace that if I was Pittsburgh. And I would love Shedeur to sit a year behind a Hall of Fame NFL quarterback. Even if Aaron doesn't want to, quote, be a mentor to anybody, that's fine. What he can pick up from this kind of year is mind-boggling. So I'd rather not throw him to the dogs year one. I know he's mature. I know he's smart. They've got a young offensive line. They've invested some draft capital in. They've upgraded the wideout core. But I would love to see him get some time to develop. And I'm hoping at 21, there'll be a little less pressure. And I also know Mike Tomlin knows how to handle the heat. So I like that pick there a lot for them.
Okay, so Shedeur Sanders goes off the board. 21st overall. Chargers are now sitting on the clock. Who do they take?
Yeah, their needs are basically D tackle, running back, and wide receiver. And I wanted to give them Omarion Hampton because they're not dynamic at running back, despite Najee Harris. Then I looked at defensive tackle, and they're loaded with, you know, Walter Nolan and all the Derek Harmon and these guys that are ready to start now. And I finally went, you know what? Emeka Abuka, the wide out from Ohio State, to pair him with Ladd McConkey. And I think the draft plays right into the Chargers' needs, running back and defensive tackle. So let's go get the third wide out, who I think there's a little bit of a drop-off after, pair him with McConkey, and at the end of the day, we'll come back and get our DT and our running back.
My gosh. The strange bedfellows, huh? Jim goes and gets a Buckeye to help himself
right?
out. I know. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Now the Packers, you have them 23rd overall here taking who? Yep. What do you got there?
Yeah, I looked hard at wide out, and I think Emeka Abuka going the pick before varies the way they're thinking through this right now. I'm not sure if Luther Burden is as consistent as you would like in the first round. So basically, I've got him taking the second defensive tackle over the fifth edge or the fourth corner or fourth wideout. So they get Derek Harmon from Oregon, who's an immediate plug-and-play starter at defensive tackle, really good against the pass, is stout against the run, and I think he starts day one for Green Bay.
Okay, so Sanders, Ibuka, Harmon kicks off the final 12 of the Mike May Ock draft here on the Rich Eisen Show. The Vikings sitting at 24. What happens here, Mike?
I think they're the logical choice to trade down for any team looking to get up. They only have four draft picks. They have the least draft capital overall of any team in the NFL. And I think, for instance, Kansas City sitting at 31 could be looking to get to 24 ahead of Houston and the Rams, because if there's a run on offensive linemen, Kansas City might want to get ahead of two teams with those needs. Mm. But the New York Giants are sitting there at 34. They need a quarterback. Their third round draft pick is the first of the round, number 65. So I've got the New York Giants trading up from 34 to 24 and taking Jackson Dart.
Oh, wow. Whoa. Okay, that would be a nice wow moment. Why do you see the Giants and Dart as a marriage there for the Giants to give up quite the third round draft choice? I know it's just a three, but it's a significant one for this kid.
Yeah. It's the first pick in the third round. It is significant. They got a playmaker in the first round in Abdul Carter. They need to get better. Part of me wanted to give them another positional player and just let them sit and pick in the second round. But they had two third-round picks. And to be honest with you, I love the pairing of Jackson Dart in behind Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston. And keep in mind that Wilson's on a one-year deal. Winston's on a two-year deal. But the guaranteed money between the two of them is only $15 million. Okay? So you can keep three quarterbacks, take advantage of the new quarterback rule on the 48-day roster, 48-man roster on game day. Mm-hmm. And this kid can come in and think about, through his prism, what he's seeing for a year. He's got Russell Wilson towards the end of his career, more of a ball security guy, understands the game, can call the game at the line of scrimmage. And then you got the exact opposite in Jameis Winston, who can't help himself and is the biggest gunslinger in the last 15 years in the NFL. And I love this kid sitting there. He's a good athlete, not a dynamic athlete, but a good athlete, throws the ball well, just having the ability to sit there and learn behind those two guys for a year and not have to play without that pressure. I think it's a great situation for him.
All right. That would be quite the moment. Deep on a Thursday night at the NFL draft, Mike Mayock walking through the final picks of how he sizes up the way things could go on Thursday night. So you're saying the Chiefs attempt to maybe knock on the right. Vikings door to beat the Texans and the Rams to the offensive line punch here. And in this case, they don't. So does that mean we see that run here on offensive linemen?
Mike? I think we do. And I see Houston's. And Rich, I told you a few weeks back, I did the Jets-Houston game last year. I watched a lot of tape of both teams. And Houston's offensive line really struggled, both with consistency and injuries. It wasn't very good. And to me, it's the main reason why C.J. Stroud's sophomore year was perhaps not as productive as his freshman year. So you look into all of those things. You know, what did they do? They traded Tunsil and Kenyon Green. They added Cam Robinson and Trent Brown, who are both, you know, at this point in their career, struggling a little bit. They're a work in progress on that offensive line. I have them taking Josh Simmons from Ohio State. Mm. I think there's a drop off at tackle after him. And what I love about him, remember, he had a patella in week six a year ago. So as long as the medical is clean and their doctors are happy with him, I think they're getting extremely good value with this pick, because from an athletic perspective, he's a higher pick than 25. And I think he's got a high ceiling and a high floor as long as that injury checks out.
And now the Rams do what? 26th overall.
Yeah, I mean, O-line, wide receiver, D-back. They got a 37-year-old quarterback. I didn't love their offensive line this year. Havenstein's 33 years old, missed a lot of time the last 2 years. The interior offensive line was a work in progress. So I went with Donovan Jackson, another Buckeye, to me, is a quintessential guard prospect who had to kick out and play left tackle. So what you get with him is a guy that can plug and play guard right now and upgrade the athleticism, toughness, run and pass in your line. And he could also kick out for Havenstein and if he needs to. So I love that pick for Donovan Jackson. What that does is that now gives us seven offensive linemen off the board, four tackles, three interior. And I think there's a drop-off at this point. And if anybody wanted one, they would have to get ahead and get up to Minnesota at least. But that, I think that probably closes the door on the first round with offensive linemen.
Okay. The Ravens, with six more picks to go, 27th overall. Who do they go get?
I just love them. Whether it was Ozzie or DaCosta,
right?
They're not afraid to move up. They love to move back. But when they see the board shifting towards them favorably late in the round, they're cool with sticking. So they stick and pick a safety, Malachi Starks.
Oh, yeah.
They pair him with Kyle Hamilton. Mm. And the cool thing, the added benefit here, he might even be a better nickel than he is a safety. And if you move him to nickel, if you want, you can move Marlon Humphrey back to corner, which is his natural position. Keep in mind, they lost Brandon Stevens. So I think Malachi Starks gives them a lot of options, safety or nickel.
Yeah, we had him on the show last week, Mike. He's got Raven written all over, literally written all over him. He really does just seem to be that type of guy. And just him next to Kyle Hamilton, that's a tall order, man, that for sure. Right. Yep. So the Ravens, 28th overall. Lions. Who do you have the Lions taking?
Let's not overcomplicate it. You know, everybody's talking about edge rusher. That's what it should be based on what's left on the board. Because, you know, you've got Aiden Hutchinson, who's a power, speed to power, heavy-handed guy. I'd like to pair him on the opposite side with a kind of a twitchier guy with more bend so that they could flip-flop, cause offensive tackles, all kinds of problems from week to week. So I gave him Dominic Azaraku from Boston College. He's got the best bend as an edge rusher that I've seen in years. He's twitchy. He plays longer than what he measures. I mean, he's 34 and a half inch arm on a smaller body. He's tougher than people think. He can set an edge. And I think you're going to get a production out of him immediately.
Okay. So now we've got the final four teams here, the rich getting richer. How? Let's start with Washington. What do you think?
Yeah, just as a preface, I would think this is another potential trade down.
Okay.
When you get the draft night, Rich, they only have five picks and the second least draft value of all 32 teams. Keep in mind, they traded away smart trades. They got Tunsil and they got the wideout from San Francisco.
Yeah, Debo.
Thank you, Debo. I wanted to say Dumbo, and I knew I was in trouble if I said that. I think they're a potential trade down, Washington, but if they stick and pick, which in this situation I believe they would, keep in mind Dante Fowler went to Dallas. There's still good value left at the edge rusher position, which they need. They take Mikel Williams, 6'5", 265, long arms, movement skills like a ballerina, more upside than he showed at Georgia, played through injuries this past year, showing some toughness. So the reason he lasted so long is people wanted to see more production. But I think part of it was because of the injuries this year, and he's got a high ceiling.
Okay. So I'm mandated to ask here before we get to the final three. With the Giants, in your estimation, already being the ones to strike a deal to move up to take the quarterback and Jackson Dart, Cleveland sitting 33rd overall, first team to choose on Friday night. You got Vegas, 37th overall, sitting there on Friday night. You know, you don't have New Orleans taking a quarterback in the first round. They're 40th overall on Friday night. Who would you peg, and for which quarterback to hop in with Washington there, should Washington strike a deal? What do you think?
You know, Rich, it brings up an interesting point, which is there's been more chatter about the middle ground of quarterbacks this year than I've ever seen. Okay, so in other words, Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, and then Jackson Dart became the three guys that are, quote, the high level, and we all know who they are. There's another group at the lower end, but the four guys that have generated a lot of conversation is Tyler Shuck, Jalen Milroe, Will Howard, and McCord from Syracuse. And people are grinding the hell out of those kids because they're not sure whether or not all four of them may be as good as Dart or Sanders. Okay? They're all grinding these guys hard. So I think if you're Cleveland, you can stick and pick. The Milroe kid is off the chart as far as upside. He's going to need to sit for at least a year, maybe two. So, you know, Cleveland, I think Will Howard or Shuck fit pretty good. And at New Orleans, they might be tempted by Milroe at 40 just because you put him on a field, and even if he isn't quite ready to go, his athletic ability is going to buy a lot of big plays for whoever drafts him.
Okay, final three here. The Bills, 30th overall, do what?
They've got 10 picks, two in the second round. Corner, wide out, D-line are the needs. Board fell really good for them also. Smart, the rich get richer. D-tackle and corner, the D-tackle board just hasn't been attacked yet. Everybody knows how deep it is, so they're waiting to get one. So they say, the heck with it, we're going to get the fourth corner, Maxwell Hairston from Kentucky. They re-signed Benford, the corner out of Villanova this year, but they're not really dynamic outside. This kid gives them a dynamic outside player. As long as he competes and tackles physically, he's got special ability to play at a high level.
All right, and if the board falls this way and you're saying we're out of the first-round grade offensive lineman store, they're fresh out of stock, what do the Chiefs do here?
I agonize because I think Ursaray, the tackle from Minnesota, has a first-round grade on my board, but there's apparently a bunch of off-the-field stuff that's been qualified by NFL teams. I think he's going to fall a little bit. So if I can't go with Ursaray there, they probably need defensive lineman would be next. And let's face it, they got embarrassed by the Eagles up front. I wanted to give them an offensive lineman. Brett Veach is smart. He won't reach. He'll get value. I've got him taking Shamar Stewart, the defensive end from A&M. And he had 4.5 sacks in 3 years, Rich, but might have more upside than any player in this draft. He's body beautiful. He played well at the Senior Bowl. You put him with Karlaftis, Chris Jones, Omenihu. He can play inside, outside. That would be fearsome, that group.
All right. So if you're saying that the defensive tackle board has not been fully attacked yet.
Yep.
And Howie Roseman's now on the clock, 32nd overall. He's high-fiving, cartwheeling. What's he doing right now? Yeah. What's he doing Mike?
You read my mind. I wanted to give him a corner, okay? And Hairston was taken at 30, which I think is probably their cutoff in my mind.
Okay.
In the first round. So I'm giving him Walter Nolan, who is one of the most gifted players in this draft. Ole Miss defensive tackle, explosive, quick, tough. He's had some off-the-field stuff and on the field some inconsistencies. If you put him in the Eagles' defensive line room with the coaching and the other players in that room, because keep in mind, we all know they lost Milt Williams, but they got to make a decision on Jordan Davis, another first-round defensive tackle, who's more of a run defender than anything. So they replenished the stock at defensive tackle, and everybody else better watch out because Walter Nolan's coming too.
That completes Mike Mayock's mock draft, everybody. And I just find this interesting, Mike, knowing our history together, you and I. It was 22 drafts ago that you were the one who went on NFL Network and said Aaron Rodgers is going to fall to 24 and there's going to be a big quarterback moment and the Packers are going to take him. Look where you have Jackson Dart going, 24th overall. So let's see if you called this shot. That would be pretty wild if you're right about this one in Green Bay. You know, here we are. That would be quite the moment. You know, if Shedeur Sanders falls and the Steelers snag him, and then three picks later, the Giants say, we're going to make a trade to come back in and take Jackson Dart. And the Vikings are like, sure, we only have four draft choices, so we'll take some more off your hands and draft that way. That would be pretty damn big, man. That's for sure.
And, Rich, you know it as well or better than I do. The injury, these mock drafts are fun, and they're really meant to inform and provide options for people.
Right.
But when it happens on draft night and somebody puts that card in, and you and DJ and Charles, everybody's going to just light up and have fun. So from the bottom of my heart, I hope you guys have a great time.
Oh, man, you're the best, Mike. I've loved doing this, and we'll have you on right after the draft, too, to review everybody's work. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, brother.
The one and only Mike Mayock here on the Rich Eisen Show. That was just so much fun over the last few weeks here. There goes Mike.
Four chefs, 24 culinary showdowns for 24 hours straight. Which chef will outcook, outpace, outlast the competition?
No chef
escapes the clock.
Season premiere 24 and 24, Last Chef Standing, Sunday, April 27th at 8. See it first on Food Network. Stream next day on Max.
There are people out there all across the country pushing boundaries to grow the game of golf. Like champion speed golfer Lauren Kupp, who plays faster than anyone else. And Will Lowry, whose work in the golf community inspires more kids to get into the game. As a champion partner of the Masters, Bank of America supports everyone determined to find out what's possible in golf and in life. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America. Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2025. Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
You know, I've been at this NFL Network thing for quite some time, Josh Allen, since, to use a Warren Sapp phrase, you were knee-high to a jackrabbit back in Central California. And I've been doing a lot of combines. The current general manager of the Raiders was with me at the time as a broadcaster, Mike Mayock. When you were at the combine and you took a snap in one of the drills and you just, you know, lightly glided back to right around the 10-yard line and let one fly, and it landed on the other 25. And I looked at Mike Mayock and he looked at me and kind of raised his eyebrows like, yep, that's the arm strength right there. What is the furthest you've ever thrown a football, Josh?
The furthest was in Wyoming, so I did get a little assistance from the elevation.
Yes.
But it was right around 83 yards.
Right around. Right around 83.
Yeah.
Are we rounding up or are we rounding down to the 83, Josh?
We are probably rounding up just a little bit, but 83 was that was the number.
So I don't know. I'm looking up to see if you're playing in Denver at all, so you can play. You can get a little bit of some altitude. Can you do that in an NFL game, you think?
I mean, there was one game. I think it was my rookie year against the Dolphins. I threw a ball dang near as hard as I can, and my receiver was 60, 70 yards downfield, and I overthrew him just by a little bit.
you airmailed him.
I did, and that was just one of those, like, I didn't feel like I threw it as hard as I could, but my hip fired so hot, and it just came out of my hand extremely well, and it was spinning, and it was a little warm in Miami, so it might have flown a little farther, but it was just one of those that just kind of even blew me off guard, so... Something I've toned down a little bit, though, and I feel like I've got a little more control on my sure. ball right now.
Oh, understood. No, accuracy is something that you definitely have improved on, as we have seen. So let's just walk me through this. At some point during a game in your career, let's just say it could even happen this weekend against New England, where you have to throw a Hail Mary to win it. At what yardage do you say to your coach, I still got this. Give it to me. Your own what?
We're like, I know I can get the ball in the air. And get it probably a good 4 or 5 yards deep in the end zone, probably around the 35.
Your own 35?
Yeah.
Okay. Because, you know, you're probably going to have to avoid a rush a little bit, even if they're coming at you with 3-man. You're going to have to roll out a little bit. So right around your own 30-something yard line, you can get it in there. You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
Unbelievable. Spoiler alert, Josh Allen's still unbelievable.
Right?
That was a phone call for almost 5 years ago.
Wow. He's also a testament to quarterback development. Remember it coming out?
He was inaccurate. Don't forget, 50, he was just a big 50% arm kid,
big arm guy, small school. Who did he play against?
Why would if he was so good? Why would he have to play in Wyoming?
Right. Fast forward.
Oh, he's the MVP of the league.
Got it.
Oh, and his fiance is in the number one movie in America. As
she
well.
Is. Yeah.
As well.
He's doing all right.
Huh?
He's doing all right.
Yeah, he is doing all right.
Yeah. No pressure.
Yeah. Yeah. His wife's working with Michael Jordan. B. Jordan. Just all the important pertinent information for you.
Right, of course.
And the 7th overall pick in the draft. Everybody's hoping that the quarterback they choose on Thursday night turns into Josh Allen. Everybody. So 844-204-RICH is always the number to dial here on the program. We'll be doing this show from Green Bay, Wisconsin, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Can't wait.
Our guest list is impressive, if I may say so myself. And I just did. So there's all that. Hyundai, don't let the urge to sing along to that catchy tune distract you from that truck drifting towards your lane or that lane-splitting biker creeping up beside you. Fortunately, every Hyundai offers available class-exclusive advanced safety features that can alert you to potential dangers around you. And Hyundai's over 130 IIHS Top Safety Awards since 06. It includes Top Safety Pick and Awards to Hyundai vehicles from 06 to 2025. Because Hyundai's always working to ensure the road doesn't get you. You know what gets you sometimes? Doing a three-hour program and you say, something's not going to happen, and then it does. So I said that with the Mavericks being eliminated, that we were through with the portion of the sports calendar year of Nico Harrison cutaways where it looks like he's vomiting in his own mouth.
Rich, to quote the great Lee Corso, not so fast.
Okay, my friend. Nico Harrison held a press conference today. Oh, my goodness. He had this to say about trading away Luka Doncic to Los Angeles.
When you were kicking the idea of this trade around and you had various scenarios planned in your head, did the anger and outrage from the fan base, has that exceeded what you were kind of planning for?
Yeah, good question. I did know that Luka was important to the fan base. I didn't quite know it to what level, but really the way we looked at it is, you know, if you're putting on the if you're putting a team on the floor that's Kyrie, Clay, PJ, Anthony Davis, and Lively, we feel that's a championship caliber team, and we would have been winning at a high level, and that would have quieted some of the outrage. And so, unfortunately, we weren't able to do that, so it just continued to, you know, go on and on.
I agree with him saying that that team is a championship caliber team. You can't argue with that. It is a championship caliber team, and the fact that if they had stayed healthy, it would have helped, you know, ease the pain and the burden. I get all of that, but I'm not from Dallas.
That's just
you could have asked me about how the fan base felt about Luka.
You're right.
I'm here. RES Consulting is here. Oh, my word.
Hey, our reason for showing up, buying tickets, watching on TV, going to games, getting jerseys. You're doing what now? You're sending him where?
Wow. This just in. He knows it now. poor guy. Was he really asked why he shouldn't be fired?
Yes.
Get it.
Luka comes back to town. The Lakers game's happening. And you're standing there, and there's thousands of people chanting for you to be fired. That's an experience that none of us, you know, no one's chanting for our, you know, for us to lose our jobs. Why shouldn't you be fired?
Ooh.
Well, one, I think I've done a really good job here. And I don't think I can be judged by the injuries this year. You have to judge from totality, from beginning to end. And so I think I have a really good working relationship with Patrick. I think you add in Rick. The leadership that we have is really elite. And you'll see next year when our team comes back, we're going to be competing for a championship.
Okay.
A little insulting.
Stand by it.
I feel I want to, instead of Green Bay, fly to Dallas and give this man a hug.
Yeah.
He needs a hug.
Also, don't trade Luka.
That's, I think, you know, for all general managers out there.
If you work in quality control at a candy factory, you know strict safety regulations come with the job. It's why you partner with Grainger. Grainger helps you find the high-quality and compliant products your business needs to inspect, detect, and help correct issues. And the sweetest part is, everyone gets a product that's as safe to eat as it is delicious. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.